We're going to be reading from chapter 2, verses 1 to 23. In the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled and he could not sleep. So the king summoned the magicians, enchanters, sorcerers, and astrologers to tell him what he'd dreamed. When they came in and stood before the king, he said to them, "I've had a dream that troubles me and I want to know what it means." Then the astrologers answered the king in Aramaic, "O king, live forever. Tell your servants the dream, and we will interpret it." The king replied to the astrologers, "This is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I will have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. But if you tell me the dream and explain it, you will receive from me gifts and rewards and great honor. So tell me the dream and interpret it for me." Once more they replied, "Let the king tell his servants the dream and we will interpret it." Then the king answered, "I'm certain that you're trying to gain time because you realize that this is what I have firmly decided. If you do not tell me the dream, there is just one penalty for you. You have conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. So then, tell me the dream, and I will know that you can interpret it for me." The astrologers answered the king, "There is not a man on earth who can do what the king asks. No king, however great and mighty, has ever asked such a thing of any magician or enchanter or astrologer. What the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they do not live among men." This made the king so angry and furious that he ordered the execution of all the wise men of Babylon. So the decree was issued to put the wise men to death, and men were sent to look for Daniel and his friends to put them to death. When Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, "Why did the king issue such a harsh decree?" Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. At this, Daniel went into the king and asked for time so that he might interpret the dream for him. When Daniel returned to his house and explained the matter to his friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, he urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery, so that he and his friends might not be executed with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. During the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven and said, "Praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He knows what lies in darkness, and light dwells with him. I thank and praise you, O God of my fathers. You have given me wisdom and power. You have made known to me what we asked of you. You have made known to us the dream of the king." Then Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to execute the wise men of Babylon, and said to him, "Do not execute the wise men of Babylon. Take me to the king, and I will interpret his dream for him." Arioch took Daniel to the king at once and said, "I found a man among the exiles from Judah who can tell the king what his dream means." The king asked Daniel, also called Belteshazzar, "Are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it?" Daniel replied, "No wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery he's asked about, but there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. Your dream and the visions that pass through your mind as you lay on your bed are these. As you were lying there, O king, your mind turned to things to come, and the revealer of mysteries showed you what is going to happen. As for me, this mystery has been revealed to me, not because I have greater wisdom than other living men, but so that you, O king, may know the interpretation and that you may understand what went through your mind. You looked, O king, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver and the gold were broken to pieces at the same time and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer. The wind swept them away without leaving a trace. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. This was the dream, and now we will interpret to the king. You, O king, are the king of kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory. In your hands he has placed mankind and the beasts of the field and the birds of the air. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over all. You are that head of gold. After you, another kingdom will rise, inferior to yours. Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. And finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. Just as you saw that the feet and toes were partly of baked clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom. Yet it will have some of the strength of iron in it, even as you saw iron mixed with clay. As the toes were partly iron and partly clay, so this kingdom will be partly strong and partly brittle. And just as you saw the iron mixed with baked clay, so the people will be a mixture and will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will in itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands, a rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and the interpretation is trustworthy. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell prostrate before Daniel and paid him honor and ordered that an offering and incense be presented to him. The king said to Daniel, "Surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you were able to reveal this mystery." Then the king placed Daniel in a high position and lavished many gifts on him. He made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and placed him in charge of all its wise men. Moreover, at Daniel's request, the king appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego administrators over the province of Babylon, while Daniel himself remained at the royal court. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Ali, that's great. Thank you for reading that long passage to us. And do keep it open in front of you, Daniel chapter 2, page 884. And why don't I lead us in a prayer before we look at the Bible together. Lord God, we pray that your word would be a lamp to our feet and a light for our path. In Jesus' name, amen. Do you feel anxious about the future? Do you ever feel anxious about the future? I think it's been an anxious year, hasn't it? We've been feeling worried about our health. We've been feeling worried about when life will get back to normal. COVID also makes us worried about the future. We worry about our jobs, maybe, or our plans to see family, or how COVID is going to maybe mess up our hopes to have a holiday, that kind of thing. But actually, there are loads of things in life that make us anxious, even apart from COVID. We think, will my children be okay? Will my grandchildren be okay? Will I have enough money? Will I be able to afford that house? Will I get leave to remain in the UK? Will the environment be all right? Will I be satisfied in life? Will I have good health up until old age? We feel anxious about the future. We wish that we could know the future. Well, in this passage that we're looking at today, we meet someone who is very anxious about the future, and we see God who knows the future. We've just started going through the first half of the book of Daniel. Daniel lived about 600 years before Jesus. And last week, if you were here with us, we saw that Daniel is in exile. Daniel's been taken far away from Jerusalem, his home, far away to a place called Babylon. So Daniel, and later most of God's people, lived in Babylon, in exile, far away from their home. And do you know that the New Testament says that Christians today live in exile? We live here in this world, far away from our real home, which is with God in heaven. And the book of Daniel helps us to trust in God while we live in exile. And as we start chapter 2, we meet someone who, like it says up on screen, is anxious about the future. And let me read verse 1. Do follow along if you'd like to. It says, in the second year of his reign, Nebuchadnezzar had dreams. His mind was troubled and he couldn't sleep. Nebuchadnezzar is the most powerful man in the whole world. He's the king of the Babylonian Empire, the superpower of its day. And yet here, he doesn't seem powerful at all. He's in his pajamas, and he's all sweaty, and he can't sleep. He's had a terrible dream. We learn about it later. It was a very powerful, very disturbing dream. Nebuchadnezzar is desperate to understand it. He knows the dream means something. The dream speaks about the future of his kingdom, and he's anxious to know what it means. And so he calls in all of his advisors, the magicians and sorcerers, to get them to explain. And they all hurry in and they nod and they say, yes, O king, we'd love to help. Just tell us the dream and we'll explain it for you. But they're in for a shock. Verse 5, the king replied to the astrologers, this is what I firmly decided. If you don't tell me what my dream was and interpret it, I'll have you cut into pieces and your houses turned into piles of rubble. But if you do, it'll be bonuses all round. It's pretty brutal, isn't it? Nebuchadnezzar is incredibly powerful. He can do anything he wants. In the next chapter, he threatens to burn people alive in a furnace. He's very eager to know what this dream means. The magicians swallow nervously and they say, well, O king, we'd love to help, that's what we're here for, but we really will need to hear the dream first and then we can explain it to you. But the king's not having any of that. He says, I know your game, you're just trying to gain time. Verse 9, if you don't tell me the dream, there's only one penalty for you. You've conspired to tell me misleading and wicked things, hoping the situation will change. He's desperate to know what the future means, what the future holds, and he's testing his magicians. He knows that if they can tell him the dream, then he can trust them to tell him what it really means. But, O king, they reply, they're beginning to panic, no one on earth can do that. Verse 11, what the king asks is too difficult. No one can reveal it to the king except the gods, and they don't live among men. King, O king, you'd need a god to tell you. And that's not going to happen, is it? Or is it? And in a rage, the king orders them all to be killed, including Daniel and his friends. Nebuchadnezzar is very anxious about the future. And people feel the same way today. The government is very anxious to know how people are going to vote in the future. They pay people to try and figure it out, try and work out the future. Bankers make and lose fortunes trying to guess the future, trying to work out what's going to be successful this year and what's not. And normal people like you and me feel anxious about the future, don't we? We fret and we stress and we worry about the future. And many people are like King Nebuchadnezzar here, up at night, in their pajamas, sweating, not sleeping, anxious about the future. I wonder if you've known times like that. Maybe there's something going on in your life right now where you feel anxious about the future. It's horrible not being able to sleep. Well, you and I need to know that there is only one person who can help. It's what the magicians thought was impossible. Up on screen, God reveals the future. So Daniel's life is in great danger, but he reacts very calmly. Verse 14, when Arioch, the commander of the king's guard, had gone out to put to death the wise men of Babylon, Daniel spoke to him with wisdom and tact. He asked the king's officer, why did the king issue such a harsh decree, command? And Arioch then explained the matter to Daniel. Daniel then arranges to see the king, and he goes home and he tells his friends. And verse 18, he urged them to plead for mercy from the God of heaven concerning this mystery. Daniel knows that only God can reveal the future. And verse 19, during the night, the mystery was revealed to Daniel in a vision. Then Daniel praised the God of heaven, and he said, praise be to the name of God forever and ever. Wisdom and power are his. He changes times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them, brings them down. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. He reveals deep and hidden things. He's the God who reveals the future. So Daniel sprints to the officer, and the officer trips over himself to try and bring Daniel in front of the king quickly. And I imagine that the king is very suspicious. I imagine the king thinks, well, here's a desperate man trying to save his own skin. And he stares at Daniel. And verse 26, the king asks, are you able to tell me what I saw in my dream and interpret it? And wonderfully, we know the answer is going to be yes. Now, Daniel is very humble. He doesn't grab glory for himself. He points away from himself and he points to God. Verse 27, Daniel replied, no wise man, enchanter, magician, or diviner can explain to the king the mystery that he's asked about. But there is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries. He has shown King Nebuchadnezzar what will happen in days to come. And in a minute, Daniel will explain it. Daniel's God is the God who reveals the future. Imagine for a moment that I go on a trip and I go to visit the Bayeux Tapestry in France. Have you heard of the Bayeux Tapestry? It's very famous. It's basically a sort of an incredibly long woven picture. It's 70 meters long. It's absolutely enormous. And it tells the story of a famous battle a long time ago, the Battle of Hastings. Now imagine I go to visit this amazingly long picture, the Bayeux Tapestry. But imagine I trip and I break my glasses just before I get there. Now I'm really short-sighted, I can hardly see anything if I take my glasses off. And so now I've got a problem. I can't stand back and look at this incredibly long picture and see it. Now for me to now be able to see it, I have to get right up close to it, inches from my face. And then a bit pathetically, I have to sort of inch along like this. Can you imagine me sort of looking at this incredibly long picture? I have to get really close and I have to sort of inch along looking at the Bayeux Tapestry. It's the only way I can see it. Well, that's a bit like you and me passing through life. We're inching along bit by bit. We can remember some of what's come before, we can remember some of the past, but we don't know what's coming next. We can only guess. We're sort of inching along through time, through our lives. But God is very different from us. God can see the whole tapestry at once. God knows the end from the beginning. God sees the whole thing. It's his tapestry. And God can reveal to us what will happen in the future. Other religions can't do that. Their gods are not real. You see that here, don't you? You see the magicians and the false gods that they worshipped. The magicians fail. They're panicking. They're helpless. They don't know the future. Only Daniel's God, the God of the Bible, knows the future. Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism can't tell you the future. Fortune tellers can't tell you the future. Horoscopes can't tell you the future. But the God of the Bible can. It's like we say in the Creed, we believe in the Holy Spirit. With the Father and the Son, he is worshipped and glorified. He has spoken through the prophets, like Daniel. The question is for you and me, will we listen to what God has revealed? Well, let's see what God has revealed. Let's see what this dream is all about. Anxious about the future, God reveals the future, and here it is. God's kingdom will last forever. And Daniel is now ready to explain to the king. This is an incredibly dramatic moment. Many lives are at stake. And you can imagine King Nebuchadnezzar leaning in to listen. Is this guy going to be able to tell me my dream? Let me read from verse 31. Daniel says, "You looked, O king, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold, its chest and arms of silver, its belly and thighs of bronze, its legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of baked clay. While you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. And then the iron, the clay, the bronze, the silver, and the gold were broken to pieces at the same time and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer, like bits of straw. And the wind swept them away without leaving a trace. But the rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth." Now just imagine the scene. The king, his mouth is hanging open. That was his dream. He can't believe it. You could hear a pin drop. And then it gets even more amazing as Daniel explains it. And to help us, here is a picture of the statue. Bear in mind that in the dream it would have been much more awesome than this. Verse 36, Daniel says, "This was the dream, and now we'll interpret it to the king. You, O king, are the king of kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory." And then a little bit later, Daniel says, "You are the head of gold." Verse 39, "After you, another kingdom will arise, inferior to yours. Next, a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there'll be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will crush and break all the others. Just as you saw that the feet and the toes were partly of baked clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom." Now, people discuss which empires the metals stand for. But the fact is that there were only four major empires in that part of the world between Daniel and Jesus. So it seems right to understand the dream in this way. If you have a look at the screen, the four empires are the Babylonians, the Medes and the Persians, the Greeks, and then the Romans. Now listen to what God says will happen in the days of the fourth kingdom, the Roman Empire. Verse 44. In the time of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it will itself endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of a mountain, but not by human hands, a rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. So this dream is an amazing prediction that in the time of the Roman Empire, God will set up his kingdom. And isn't that just what happened? Jesus was born in the time of the Roman Empire. Jesus was crucified under Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. This is an amazing prophecy of what will happen over the next 600 years. And that God's kingdom will come in the time of the Roman Empire. It's why Jesus says in Mark chapter 1, and we looked at this verse a couple of Sundays ago, Jesus says, the time has come. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. Jesus the rock came. And God's kingdom has now come. And eventually every sinful human kingdom will be destroyed. But God's kingdom will grow and grow and will fill the earth. And his kingdom alone will last for eternity. Well, King Nebuchadnezzar is absolutely overwhelmed and he falls at Daniel's feet and he honors God. And he says, verse 47, surely your God is the God of gods and the Lord of kings and a revealer of mysteries, for you are able to reveal this mystery. Now, the king isn't a believer yet, but he's amazed and he honors Daniel and his friends. God's kingdom alone will last forever. Human kingdoms come and go. If you want to see what's happened to the Babylonian kingdom or the Greek kingdom, you have to go to a museum these days, don't you? Maybe you'll see little bits left over from these huge kingdoms. The Romans, they've just left a few ruins here and there, haven't they? There are a few actually here in Doncaster, next to the Minster. Human kingdoms come and go. A century ago, Britannia ruled the waves, but not anymore. Human empires come and go. Vaughan Roberts is a well-known preacher and an author, and he tells the story of being in America, and he was preaching to a group of American students. And he was teaching them from the Bible, and he made this point, that human empires come and go. And he said that one day the time would come when the USA is no longer the most powerful country in the world. And as he said that, he realized that the students were looking at him literally with their mouths open. They couldn't believe what he was saying. But it's true. Human empires come and go, and God's kingdom alone will last forever. We're often anxious to know the future. God is the only one who can reveal it. He doesn't tell us everything, but he tells us the most important things. God doesn't tell me whether I'll get that job or whether my health will last. God doesn't tell me whether I'll have grandchildren or whether that loved one will become a Christian. But God does tell me that his kingdom will last forever. And that would have been a great comfort to Daniel and to the other exiles. And it should be a great comfort to us. The church can seem very weak at times, but it's not, because God's kingdom will last forever. And if you haven't yet entered that kingdom, Jesus says, repent and believe, turn and trust in me. Jesus offers forgiveness and a place in that kingdom. And if you're wise, you'll listen to him. And for those of us who are in that kingdom, we still get anxious, don't we? We get anxious about many things. And we can toss and turn in our beds at times. And we worry about money and clothes and our health and our plans. But God's kingdom will last forever. And if that's right, then Jesus was right when he said, "Your heavenly Father knows that you need these things, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness." Let's pray for his help to do that now. Lord Jesus, we praise you for this amazing prophecy of what would happen over the next 600 years. And we praise you that God's kingdom did arrive during the time of the Roman Empire and that you are the king. And we pray, Lord, for your help to not be anxious about the future, but to trust God and to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And we pray it in your name. Amen.